What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Boys at 161st Street. Thanks for joining us today, as always. Before we get this rolling, we would really appreciate it if you guys could take 2 seconds and leave a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. All right, that's enough begging. This is another episode of Roll Call, a mini-series where we individually talk about each player on the Yankees. 15 minutes starts now. Okay. Welcome back to the Boys of 161st Street. This episode is all about the man, Garrett Cole. I was trying to pull his middle name in there out of the just thin air. Didn't know what it was. First thing that came to mind was Anderson. I hope that's right because that would be crazy if I got
I was
going to
say
right.
Christian for some reason or Chris.
Garrett Anderson was a player for the
That is. He's on the Angels, right? That's why I thought of that.
The Angels.
Maybe it is Anderson. Either way. This episode's all about Garrett Cole. Today you got Murph, myself, and Damon.
Yo, yo, yo.
Thanks for letting me go first.
You were the first on my screen. You're on my screen. But
I appreciate it.
But like we always start these off, how many tools,
Murph? How many tools are there? He's got them. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we decided that there are pillars or tools. There's three of them.
He's got speed. He's got control.
Whoa.
It's velo.
Velocity.
I thought running when you said speed. I was like,
velocity. He's got control. He's got brake. He's got a good house. He's got a nice wife. That's five right there.
See, now hold on. You're contradicting yourself because I was big on giving away half tools on the Wade and Frazier episodes, and you guys weren't allowing me to give obscene half
tools.
That's
because they're position players. The pitching tools have not exactly been determined yet, so we can create. And
if your wife about it. If your wife can strike out five people per nine innings in the major leagues,
if your wife can throw a slider while she, in the backyard,
that thing had some break.
That thing had a lot of break.
I mean, she did play softball at UCLA though, so.
I'd assume so.
Yeah, no, I was hoping. Otherwise, it's just Photoshopped, but not Photoshopped.
You can't Photoshop.
You can't Photoshop an image, but.
You can Photoshop an
image. A video, whatever. But, I mean, they got the pedigree. I can't wait to see what their kid is going to be the next Nolan Ryan with control. I don't know. They have something in the bloodline there. But, all right, so what's his expectations for this year? Because last year, obviously, coming off a career year with 326 strikeouts, that was wild. Even when we faced him in the playoffs, like, usually I try to find a bright side to things, like, oh, he's actually not that good. I was shook when he took
the mound. I was absolutely terrified.
And the Yankees couldn't do anything against him. Like, he's got
I remember we were doing the math when we were together and we were talking about, all right, we got Garrett Cole this game, that's a loss, and we got to win these two games before we get to Garrett Cole again, and it's giving another loss. So we got to win these four games in order to advance.
Which is interesting because Verlander was a Cy Young, and we said to ourselves, we have to win the Verlander game because we will not beat Cole.
Yeah.
Cole and Verlander were making one Greinke pitch. They might as well have thrown like the fourth starter on a JV team out there because that was how high our confidence was when they finally threw Greinke out there. We're like, all right, we just got to get past. I think let's say, I don't remember if this is exactly what happened, but I'm pretty sure if it went to seven games, it would have been two starts from Cole and two starts from Verlander. So we're like, all right, if we can win one of those four games,
we might have
a chance. And like,
yeah, but obviously he's a, you know, he's a generational talented pitcher. Before we kind of get into the next season, what do you guys, I guess, what are your thoughts on the contract and what to expect from him in the next upcoming years?
What was the exact contract?
324.
I mean, listen, I've never been a fan of big contracts. I mean, looking back at every contract, you see Pujols right now, you see Miggy, you see all these guys, A-Rod in the back end, anybody who's even Hall of Famers, like everybody's going to be bad at the back end. But, I mean, that's what you pay for. You pay for You pay for four or five good ones for maybe three or four bad ones in the back end, and that's perfectly fine, because if we get four or five good years out of Garrett Cole during this window we have right now of a title run opportunity with this young team and him, that's what you're paying for. So
the title's honestly, worth it.
It's something that we have to like, – we can't say it now because we have to reassess. Like this will only be worth it if we bring back like two titles. Two titles, I'm okay with it, personally, for me.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I would normally have agreed with you, but I was kind of thinking about it. And I think that I could even be okay with a little bit less. Because think about it this way. He reminds me a lot of our CC deal. We've taken on a lot of guys for big contracts, but not a ton of them. Like him, he and CC are both in the same window, around the same age, off career years, sort of on a team that is expected to win a World Series. So we definitely need at least a World Series in the next two or three years from him.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's it and he still produces late into his contract the way CC did and he retires as like a respected, like nobody has any qualms with how CC panned out.
But here's the thing. Here's another thing that a lot of people overlook. Like a CC, Garrett Cole is also, he brings a lot of influence and experience and that veteran presence to the team. And even though he might not produce the same amount as he did in his earlier years, and I'm talking about, you know, four or five years from now, let's say he doesn't do that, he still has that veteran presence of one of the best pitchers that we've ever seen. And him being able to influence the next generation of Yankees pitchers, it kind of goes beyond the performance on the field. And it impacts a team in a way that we often overlook and don't see, because we're watching the game that we're watching. We don't see behind the scenes, and we're not understanding those locker room conversations that these players are having and that kind of influence that these veteran players are having on the younger talents.
Hell yeah. I mean, you saw it firsthand with Clark Schmidt. You saw what Clark Schmidt said. Clark Schmidt was in some interview or whatever it was, and they were talking to, he was talking everything about what Cole, he's just screwing around with them or whatever, making fun of them, but he's taking them under their wing, all the young guys, and we have a lot of young pitching. Yeah. A lot of it. We have Loaizaga, who's 24, Clark Schmidt, Debbie Garcia, all these guys. Severino's still young, too. He could learn a thing or two from Garrett Cole for sure. Like Montgomery, another young guy. Like all these guys. I mean, if you can't name another pitcher in the league, I think, that can't learn something from Garrett Cole, especially young guys.
Yeah.
Anybody can learn from him. And people like even David Cohen was talking about just wanting to pick his brain just because he's such a baseball mind. He's in the lab figuring out spin rate. He's doing everything to try and beat you, and he's that competitor. And that's what I love about him. And to revisit the contract talk, I already think it's worth it, but I'll leave that in the dust. But I mean, it's just his influence to everybody on this team is astronomical, and I think it even goes past pitchers. I think it goes off to catchers too. Like we were talking on the Gary episode, his impact on Gary is so much because his level of professionalism makes you level up. It makes you have
just
to.
It makes everyone better. It raises the bar of internal competition and trying to perform better than everybody else and be that next man up.
Yeah, it's just that new guy too. Like if you're Gary right now, Garrett Cole is pitching to you. And honestly, another little thing about that is Garrett Cole is kind of rumored to always like to have that personal catcher. So for Gary, it's a little bit of I got to win him over sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. And kind of going back to the influence factor of it, the Yankee organization is by far the most prestige baseball organization ever, probably sports organization. And when you get a contract like this, you're expected to be in the team for a long time. You're expected to have influence even after you're off the team and when you retire. Let's say the thing that comes to my mind when I'm trying to put this to words is Pettit's influence on Garrett Cole coming to the Yankees. That is huge. Who the hell? I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I'm saying, talking about long-term deal, it's a long-term contract, talking about the long-term of the New York Yankees. Let's say the next young pitcher is coming up and we need a deal, and Garrett Cole's that guy and is on his shoulder saying, do it. Like we're talking years and years of influence, and having that kind of guy to be that piece and that face of it is huge.
I mean, he's Jackie Moon. He's the bench coach. Even when he's not pitching, he's there. He's in your ear. He's tweaking things for
he's
you.
He's out fighting a bear during halftime. You know?
He'll do anything we want. He'll do you know how the Nationals do the Frozone race. He could be that guy too.
All right, we're getting carried away.
Whatever. Yeah. But just the main idea of this, though, I was serious about the Jackie Moon thing because he is that coach on the sidelines when he's not pitching because he goes every fifth day. But things like him giving tips to, like, I know we just added Matt Blake, but having Gerrit Cole with Matt Blake paired together, like those minds helping out other pitchers, that's what some of the unorthodox things that you don't think of that are counted into the $324 million that he's making for 9 years, you know?
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I just feel like I'll be satisfied with his contract if he doesn't fizzle out. And I really don't think he's going to. I think he's going to be serviceable to the Yankees in some way during his 2028 year of his contract, whether it be more of as that player coach, Jackie Moon type that you're talking about, or as a legitimately serviceable pitcher. I see him going down sort of towards the likes of what Scherzer and Verlander are looking like now in their late 30s.
Yeah.
I would love for that to happen.
And you know why? You know why?
That's unheard of.
Go on a playoff run and a World Series run in 2027 or 2028 and have it be sort of like the team of destiny sort of thing behind Cole, the same way it was kind of behind Scherzer now. And I know Scherzer's not a geezer, he's not that old, but still, like,
no, but you know why that's not a stretch? That's not a stretch because his player type, like we're talking about with Loaiza, but your player type translates to different things, and you can kind of project how your career is going to spiral based on that. And his player type translates to that of Verlander and Scherzer because he is a guy who can pin it wherever he wants. Yeah. He can put a ball on the black wherever the fuck he wants to, and he can throw it with gas too, which is unheard of. That's what makes him so special is because he has the break. Like we said, he has every tool a pitcher can possibly have.
He's got a full shed.
The intelligence, he's Home Depot in terms of tools. He's got it all. And that translates to longevity, which is why a 9-year contract is fine for me.
Yeah.
And honestly, the CC comparison is also good because CC was probably the best length contract, but he didn't.
Well, he made a ton of transitions, and that was huge. He realized he couldn't throw as fast as he used to, and he quickly transitioned to be that spot up guy.
And if that ever happens with Cole, if he loses velocity, he's a high IQ guy who can learn how to pitch, like always say.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that you look at a guy and you say when he loses the stuff and he loses 5 miles an hour on his fastball and he loses a certain amount of spin rate on his curveball and he starts, you know, losing that sort of thing, is he still going to be able to pitch? And you look at Verlander and you look at Scherzer and But, I mean, I just one example that I thought of, and it's definitely not the best example because he was very good for a long time. I'm thinking of, like, the Felix Hernandezes of the world. And he, big strikeout guy, pitched a lot of really big games, was unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, you know, when he started losing his stuff, he was less and less serviceable, and then now he's kind of in Atlanta. There are way better examples than him.
I think the Scherzer is the most exact example. Like, he's a guy who can pin it wherever he wants, and he can play – for a long time.
I mean, listen,
everybody loses velocity once you go down. CC was the biggest power pitcher we've seen, and he ended up throwing nothing. Like, maybe, who knows, maybe he gets an injury and he ends up being a Tanaka type who ends up becoming a finesse guy. Who knows? But regardless of the way things pan out, because you can't predict things, injuries happen, he's got the IQ, like we said, to figure it out. We say figure it out a lot. He can figure anything out, and I'm confident in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be worth the money, I think, in the long run for sure. And, you know, just looking at his simulated stats for this year, I know that Baseball Reference is doing the simulated stats from to date. He is 9 games started, 6 quality starts, and already has 86 strikeouts throughout 4 wins. And kind of going back to the whole contract thing, he already pays for his house by middle of May, which is worth $5.6 million.
That's wild. I mean,
we'll see how. He
paid for his house, then like an extension already.
Pretty tough time to be buying a house though, because you would think that Yeah, he'd have it paid off by April 10th.
I mean, that's not how it works at all, but...
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, they're getting a check from... He's not making $36 million this year.
I know, but imagine... Imagine after every game...
He might have to wait a year to put a pool in or whatever.
After every game, cash gives out checks based on their performance. Yeah, it's like, hey, you had this many strikeouts today. Here's your check.
Well, they have.
Maybe that's how they should do the new bargaining agreement.
Yeah, just based on their performance.
They have that to a degree. They have the... performance stipends, like they have, like the
no. I'm saying, like, would it be funny if after every single game, if you got a hit, it's a certain amount of money. If you got a home
like
run,
your contract strikeout is not based on a set amount of money. It's like,
yeah,
your contract isn't this much per year. It's this much per hit.
Yeah,
this much per home run.
Yeah, per strikeout.
Yeah,
and then like imagine you come in 0-for-4 with 3 Ks, and then you got to pay the guy like $60,000 because
yeah,
that'd be wild. How much does he actually make per strikeout, Damon?
$110,000.
Yeah, that must be nice.
Roughly.
I mean,
he makes $1 million per start, $169,000 per inning pitched, $110,000 per strikeout, and about $9,200 per pitch thrown.
So this is totally unrelated to anything, but I've had a quarter standing on its side on my desk for about 5 minutes, and it hasn't moved. It's standing.
How did it get there?
I was playing with it, and then all of a sudden I took my hand away, and it just didn't move. I sent a picture.
How can we connect that to Garrett Cole?
It's not, but I'm still looking.
He's stable.
This is amazing right now.
Cole is that quarter.
Yeah,
this is
he's
once
amazing.
In a generation.
He's balanced.
It's a metaphor.
He's balanced. He is money.
Is balanced. he's money. He's surprised. He's going to surprise us.
And eventually he'll fall down.
And good spin rate. Probably spin the spin the quarter.
When he falls down, he can pick himself back up.
I think it's going to happen over if I move my laptop.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. I'm just saying.
Speaking of spin rate, what do you guys think of some little pine tar action down in the good old Texas area?
When do we talk about – what was that transition? What was spin rate? I'll talk about
the quarter.
It,
of the quarter. I was saying the spin rate.
I was going to say, right, I thought you just tried to just
– And that's a connection. And that's a connection.
I just thought you tried to shove that transition in there. Like, speaking of potatoes,
like, you like pizza?
No, but that is interesting because, I mean, you talk about the Astros cheating. We've obviously beaten that to death. But first, before we talk about that, like, he – what was his role in the Astros cheating thing, if there was one? Do you think there was one? And what do you think? Do you think he talks about it to the players? Do you think people are asking him about it and he's telling people? You think it's off limits? Like, everybody knows not to talk to him about it.
I think internally,
he addressed it.
I think internally he's getting asked about it a lot. But I think that the Garrett Cole aura, the superstar aura of him coming to New York, and that it was such a big story of him coming to New York, and also the fact that he's a pitcher, I didn't think it was a big deal in the offseason for him at all. He addressed it once, and it was kind of the end of it. But
did he address it?
I mean, yeah, I don't forget what he said, but he addressed it like in one sentence, and he was like, "That's it." I'll find it. But it was, they asked him and he was like, I'm here in New York now. And that was like his answer.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't think pitchers had much to do with it. And that's why we kind of write it off. Pitchers didn't obviously benefit from the stealing of the signs. They're the ones.
Yeah. But cheating tendencies. You never know if there was something else there that they were using or, the possibilities are endless, and we could talk about it all day. But the reality is if they did it, and you know, if he's really talking about it, and you know,
I mean, that's what we say. Like we say, people, like that's why we are so positive that they use the buzzers, because like people who are going to cheat, like they cheated in 2017 with Trash Bang. Do we really think they stopped there? And that's where it translates, and that's where I think the whole Trevor Bauer talking about, oh, their spin rate is like astronomically higher than other things. I think that is where he's a little bit less of a loony bird and more of like, this thing has some legs, a little bit at least, because I mean, if you're a cheater, cheater's going to cheat. And like, if something's working here and you're banging a goddamn trash can and it's not discreet whatsoever, we can figure something else out to get another edge somewhere. Like you're gonna, you get an inch, you take a mile, and that's kind of where I am on that. I feel like there might have been something, and I'm basically what I'm saying is I wouldn't be shocked if we hear soon if they look into it. I'm sure Trevor Bauer won't rest on that sort of thing now that he got his incrimination on the buzzers and stuff. But I think I wouldn't be shocked if I heard that there was pine tar being used.
Because,
and if that's the case, that would suck. That would really suck.
That would come back and bite us in the ass.
That'd be
for
a Beltron
sure.
for us. We just get our white horse or white whale.
And the thing
wouldn't
that
be punished though for that, the same way any of the Astros players haven't been punished.
Beltran did.
Beltran wasn't a player.
Yeah, Beltran wasn't a player.
What?
Well,
I mean, you don't know. That's just because they specifically got immunity to talk. We don't know if that's the way they'll go about it.
If that comes out where that's the case with pitchers, Gerrit Cole would not get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't get suspended for it. He would get the same punishment that Altuve and Correa and Alvarez and all them and Gurriel and all them got for it.
And the only reason, the reason that I was kind of the bigger reason that I was shocked with the whole Astros thing is that it's not like these guys were bad players to begin with. They were superstar players anyway. And look at the Houston Astros pitching rotation. Superstars too.
That's what makes me think this thing isn't like outlandish.
Bregman's
a stud. Bregman's an MVP player. And then
so was Altuve, and Correa maybe was, and he kind of fell off a little bit.
We talked a little bit about this off air. That's why when we were talking about this before and we said like, oh no, Cole was really good on the Pirates and all that stuff. But like, so was Bregman. So are all these players. Like that doesn't necessarily make it off the table. You know,
Cole was good on the Pirates, but he didn't win a Cy Young.
Exactly.
So. And the same thing you could say. The reason that I wouldn't be that shocked about it is because I think the most surprising thing almost for me is when I see how good Verlander still is. And like, there's been some pitchers that can go into their late 30s and be that good.
Verlander got better.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's better on the Astros than he was on the Tigers in some cases, for some years. Not for his Cy Young year, but.
I mean, granted, I've been watching him pitch, and he's been phenomenal. Like, but, you know, all I'm trying to say is that. Keep an open mind. Shit might have happened if there was something going on, cheating tendencies, carryover. There could have been something else going on.
Yeah, we're not saying it did, but if it did happen, that sucks.
Yeah, and the whole reason we're doing this is that we're trying to predict what's going to happen next year, and if shit happens, we're playing all angles. And
yeah, because if he ended up doing the pine tar thing, and the Yankees don't do that, obviously I don't think they do, then. Maybe we see a drop off in strikeouts, and because he had 326 strikeouts last year. With that in mind, and obviously we're very much like predicting this, like that this is the case, which it probably isn't, and hopefully isn't. So with that being said, all factors considered, do you think over under 326 strikeouts?
Under.
It's a bad season for.
You're saying our regular season. All right,
so let's find like his strikeouts per nine innings.
Yeah.
Strikeouts per
nine was 13.82 last year.
Yeah.
So I still say under. I don't think he did
that. You really? He's 29. I mean,
he does it again. He's winning a Cy Young no matter what. I think that there's no.
He didn't even win. So if he's in a Cy Young year, then maybe.
Year before that he had 12.4, and then year before that he had 8.7 when he's on Pittsburgh.
Dude, I think
his strikeout numbers went up a lot in Houston.
Oh, a lot, like four
per game.
Okay, but hold on, like this is his breakout. Like,
uh oh,
yeah,
is it his breakout?
Let's stop talking about this.
Or is the pine tar? I don't know.
Innocent until proven guilty. Gerrit Cole didn't use pine tar. Verlander used pine tar. Fuck that guy.
Nah, I don't know, man. If Cole didn't come to the Yankees and say he was in Anaheim like right now, like we kind of had a feeling he might be, and I was looking at this, I'd be like, that cheating bastard.
What is it?
I want nothing of him.
But we have Yankees bias, and that's okay. Him.
Man, I don't know. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Eesh.
Four extra
strikeouts per game, and then five the year after.
It was that bastard Anibal Sanchez. That's who did it. It was his idea. He was the Beltran of the pitching staff.
Another interesting thing is that he had very, very similar innings pitched throughout all three seasons when that transition happened. He had above, he had 200 innings pitched, and then 203, 212, and then 8.7 strikeouts per nine, 12.4, 13.8.
That's another big thing.
His best season in Pittsburgh was 2015. And even that year, so he had 208 innings, and his ERA was a 2.6. That's great and whatever. But even then, he only had 8 strikeouts per game.
Two things.
I don't know.
I mean, dude, that's early on in his career.
5 less strikeouts per game than last year.
That's early on in his career, dude. Before. Just stop. Stop. Innocent until proven guilty. I have two things. And I forgot both of them.
Either way, we love Cole. We're not taking anything away. We're just student shit and talking. We're getting complete shit for this.
We're losing our minds. We're bored.
No. To bring back to the good that we got Gerrit Cole for, a huge part that he brings to the table that you just mentioned is the innings eating. And we've talked about other pitchers like Loaiza and Severino and all these guys. Yeah. They don't do that. Tanaka, they don't do that. Sometimes Tanaka does, but they don't do that. They don't get 9 innings. Gerrit Cole is one of the few unicorns in the league right now that can go 9. Like,
yeah, and that's save insane. And save our bullpen.
That is insane.
30 games.
And since we have a great bullpen, if we got Gerrit Cole leading the pack, that takes a lot of pressure off the rest of the bullpen. And maybe we don't have to do a bullpen days anymore. And maybe we can do bullpen days because we're fresh now. Who knows? Like, his trickle down effect on the rest of the rotation in that regard is also enormous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This episode took a crazy turn, but
full blown conspiracy.
We were saying he was going to be the next Andy Pettit to say he was cheating in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Now back to saying he's going to be a stud.
He's going to be a stud. He's going to be the next face of the Yankees for a long, long time, and I'm really fucking excited to watch him fucking pitch soon.
I really think the Yankees are not going to have that conventional of a pitching rotation, especially given the season that we're about to see, and I think he's going to be the one steady rock that we can kind of work all the crazy stuff off.
You know what I cannot wait for? I cannot wait for the World Series game, and Gerrit Cole pitched the game before, but we're trying to clinch it, and he goes into the bullpen, he warms up, and he closes the game out, just like fucking Mad Bum did or whatever.
Sailed it too.
You know what, Damon?
That too.
Yeah,
Damon.
Yeah,
you just put me there. I didn't speak for a second because I was there. I envisioned him
warming up in the bullpen in my head right there.
I was in the
projected it across the screen.
I was in the. I just time traveled, and I
cannot so, wait. Sometimes that you can
time travel to. Wait, are you at the game or are you watching it on your TV?
Yeah, there are fans. We get fans.
Yeah, okay.
We're not getting fans, but.
Oh my god! That just fired me up. I might run to the stadium right
Let's
now.
Let's do
just
12
look at
more
it.
Episodes tonight.
Yeah, we're not stopping. Them out.
But this is an hour-long episode. Yeah. We're talking about Gerrit Cole. No,
we're done.
That's it. Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
See ya.
I had this little bad thing, something like them tens. She gave a nigga mad brain, something like the Wiz. But you see the sad thing fucking with her is the chick ain't even had brains, dummy like a bitch. So I tried to show her about the world and about just who we really are and where we've come and how we still have to go really far. Like, baby, look at how we live broke on the boulevard. But all she ever want me to do is unhook a bra. Then all I really want is for her to go down low. Before you know it, she wet enough to get drowned slow. And all that deep shit I was previously down for, replaced by freak shit I am currently down for. You see, I peaked it, pussy is power. That proud feeling we get knowing that pussy is ours. And how it feels to feel that feeling you feeling when you be drilling that shit. Gotta say you be